Chapter 6. Paul. After the success of the Rush book, I started getting gigs on the lucrative lecture circuit. Turns out there aren't many speakers who know a lot about politics and are also funny. Usually this meant being flown first class to Scottsdale or Palm Springs or Vail to speak to a corporate conference on real estate investment trusts or reinsurance or how to get kids in third world countries to drink more Sprite. But I also became a popular speaker on the significantly less lucrative, as in I didn't get paid, National Progressive Circuit. And my favorite Democrat to speak for was Paul Wellstone. My parents introduced me to Paul back in 1990 when he first ran for the Senate. By then, Dad had made the transition from Jacob Javits Republican to George McGovern Democrat. In 1990, Dad was 82 and part of a senior citizens theater troupe for Wellstone that toured nursing homes. I never saw their show, but Dad had Paget's disease, a softening of the bones, so I imagine the choreography was somewhat limited. Paul was a little guy, and he was a fighter. Like me, Paul was a high school wrestler. Unlike me, he was a very good high school wrestler, and at the University of North Carolina was the Atlantic Coast Conference champion at the 126-pound level in 1964, and was subsequently inducted into the College Wrestling Hall of Fame, located in Wrestlingville, USA, and very much worth a visit if you're in the area. Wellstone brought his wrestler's energy and intensity to his activism. While teaching political science at Carleton College in Northfield, Minnesota in the early 70s, he organized poor single parents to fight for a publicly funded daycare center, public housing, and free school lunches. Paul kept getting arrested for protesting the Vietnam War, for protesting farm foreclosures, for selling steroids to other wrestlers. Okay, of course, Paul never sold steroids to other wrestlers, but there's a rule in comedy called the Rule of Three, and he was only arrested twice. See, this is the kind of note you're not going to get in Condoleezza Rice's memoir. After he picketed with strikers at the Hormel meatpacking plant in Austin, Minnesota, Carleton College fired Paul. But after Carleton's students staged a protest, the college reinstated him and gave him tenure. Paul Wellstone remains the youngest tenured professor in the school's history. In 1990, Paul won a long-shot race against sitting Senator Rudy Boschwitz, even though Paul was outspent by a 7-1 margin. Boschwitz was the only incumbent U.S. senator to lose that year, in large part because Paul ran an energetic grassroots campaign. He even had a senior citizens troupe perform at nursing homes. As a senator, Paul fought for the poor and dispossessed, for homeless vets, for people suffering from mental illness. Politics, he would say, is not about power. Politics is not about money. Politics is not about winning for the sake of winning. Politics is about the improvement of people's lives. And that's what he tried to do every day he served in the United States Senate. The last time I campaigned for Paul Wellstone was at the University Club in St. Paul about 8 weeks before the 2002 midterm election. Paul was in the middle of a very tight, very bitter race with former St. Paul Mayor Norm Coleman, who had been handpicked by the Bush team to run against him. As you may recall at the time, the White House was pushing Congress to grant President Bush authority to go to war against Iraq. On October 2nd, 2002, just a little over a month before the election, Paul Wellstone became the only incumbent senator up for re-election to come out against the war. At the time, with war fever running high and pretextual lies coming fast and furious, this was pretty close to political suicide. That day, Paul told friends in the Senate and in Minnesota that he understood the vote would probably cost him his seat. As it turns out, even though a majority of Minnesotans supported going to war in Iraq, they respected Paul's principled vote, and he moved ahead of Coleman in the polls. The people of Minnesota value a politician who believes what he says and says what he believes and votes that way. Paul never prevaricated, and Minnesotans always knew where Paul Wellstone stood. Minnesotans also knew Paul's heart. Many of them had a personal story about his warmth, his humility, or his wit, and how to touch their lives on a level that had nothing to do with politics. Here's mine. That evening at the university club, the last time I saw my friend, the first thing he said to me in the thick of a battle for his political life was, "How's your mom?" As it so happened, I had just come from her nursing home in Minneapolis, where in her room, Mom kept a photo of Paul signed by him to her, "Phoebe, keep fighting, Paul." "Well, there are good days and bad days," I told Paul, as he knew she was suffering from sporadic dementia. "And today was a bad day. It was tough. I couldn't even have a conversation with her." Paul nodded, put his hand on my shoulder, and said, "You know, touch means so much." That was Paul. Touch means so much. 2 weeks after the vote on the war, Paul and his wife Sheila and their daughter Marcia died in an airplane crash in northern Minnesota, along with three staffers, Tom Lapick, Mary McAvoy, and Will McLaughlin, and pilots Richard Connery and Michael Guess. I didn't realize it at the time, but Paul's death would end up being part of the story of how I became a senator, serving in the same seat he had held for 12 years. But while I certainly never would have run for the Senate if Paul hadn't died, I also don't think I would have run had I not known him in life. Paul's greatest contribution to the progressive cause wasn't what he accomplished in the Senate, although he accomplished a lot. It's the way he inspired others to take action and taught them to be effective and gave them the confidence to stand up and shout about what they believed in. The more time you spent around Paul, the more his energy and his passion and his courage affected you and made you think that you could make a difference too. And to this day, if you travel around Minnesota and meet people who work in progressive politics, you'll hear many of them explain that they do it because of Paul. Some of them were part of his campaign and never stopped working for change even after he was gone, as a way to keep their hero's memory alive. Some of them trained with Wellstone Action, the nonprofit that became one of Paul's legacies, teaching people how to organize for progress. And some are too young to have ever really known him, but they're still inspired by his courage and his energy, the way this happy warrior never forgot that politics is about the improvement of people's lives. I can't think of a better tribute to Paul's life than the fact that more than a decade after his death, the passion he brought to politics is still alive. There are a lot of people who are more politically active than they ever thought they'd be because they love who Paul was and what he stood for and felt called to do their part to carry forward the fights he led. I'm one of them.